Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we talk about the Final Four of the NBA, because I'm always in my college frame of mind, the NBA Conference Finals. I am Andrew Reich, and I'm joined by Adam Murray. Adam Murray, are you feeling the heat? Are you feeling the tension? Are you feeling the atmosphere? Is it so thick you can cut it with a knife?
No, but I do believe we were kind of on point with this one.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
We kind of predicted sort of how the series would go for once.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's very rare. But, I mean, here's the thing about the NBA, in truth. Like, the trajectory of, like, who's going to play in the conference finals is fairly predictable most of the time. Ones play twos almost all the time.
Look, we said at the beginning of the year it's going to be Warriors-Lakers, we're right, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure, sure. And yeah, that's definitely the case. I mean, the Warriors being in there is not a shock at all, you know?
The Warriors.
Let me say this, too. And let me tell you, with the Bucks, that didn't shock me at all, period.
Well, let's start out west with the Warriors.
Okay.
They had a little bit of running for their money. Houston was a fundamentally flawed team, which they showed as they always do.
Yes, but they, in particular, because of their size – and James Harden's guard play have always given the Warriors problems, in particular.
Oh, yeah, because if Harden goes off, there's nothing you can do to stop him.
Yeah, that's the weakest – I hate to say this because Klay Thompson's a great defender, but that's the most vulnerable position when it comes to the Rockets attacking the Warriors. Because at power forward, you know, you could play Draymond Green there. You know, and he can stymie the big man at the same time. And the Warriors are so small that it doesn't really matter. Like, you don't look at it from like 1 to 5, really. They switch everything. The thing is, though, when Klay is stuck having to spend a lot of his energy defending James Harden, a guy who averaged 36 points a game in the NBA this year, yeah, that's going to waste his energy on offense, and that's going to make him a little bit less effective.
Yeah, it does tend to wear him out. And then, you know, Durant with his injury, having to, you know, I mean, it was good that the Warriors were able to win without him, and it wasn't the easiest of victories, but, you know, Houston had sort of spent all their energy. And
well, there was a lot of things there. You talked about the Durant injury. Curry finally just went nuts in the last two games, which was even weirder because in the game 6, which is going to probably go down as one of the, you know, more memorable playoff games because of the fact that Durant was absent and people thought that Houston might be able to pull it off on him, and they couldn't finish it. Curry was scoreless in the first half, I believe, in game 6. Scored 33 in the second, 23 in the fourth. That's
what he does.
That's stepping up. That's what they call superstars stepping up, you know. And I hate to say that because there are some situations where some players in an elimination game do not come up to snuff. And that actually is a good transition a little bit over just for the very brief time that we can talk about them since they're already gone to James Harden, Chris Paul. Is there just a situation where those guys just give the wrong vibe where when – it gets to elimination time that they just can't get the job done, their performance level drops? Because it starts to feel like that to me.
It's a different, you know, a different series once, you know, they always, you know, we always say that when the playoffs come, it's, you know, different times. But with Houston,
even in the playoffs, like the first round or two rounds, like Chris Paul had that whole stigma for until last year that he couldn't even make the conference finals, and he finally did. But, you know, even in the first round of the playoffs, yeah, that's fun. But you haven't played anybody that, and no disrespect to Utah, but you haven't played a truly elite team yet. You haven't played a team that can actually like eliminate you. And when they get to that point, it just feels like Harden and especially Chris Paul just can't get it done.
Well, don't forget Chris Paul is 34 now.
He is, but
that's you still try to use the 30. You know, he's a 30-31 analogy, but don't forget he's 34, and it takes a lot to put together a super game for him now.
How did he look to you?
He looked okay.
He had his moments.
Yeah, he had his moments. He was able, but he wasn't super dominant.
the over-reliance on the flopping on defense is getting out of hand.
It really is. But, you know, here's a funny thing. Well, here's sort of a hypothetical. Watching the game, watching the series, do you think if in, you know, if Houston, if everything came up heads, if Melo came back to like Melo form, would they still have been, would they have been able to overtake the Warriors?
Oh no. I think they would have lost quicker.
No, not because, not broken down Melo. Not what we got, but
oh, like elite Melo, like time, what like they we go to a time machine and go time heist Melo.
Not elite Melo, but sort of, you know, good Melo.
Maybe. I mean, we're going to talk about them when we get to our post award. It's like that. I think the biggest need for the Rockets is a third wheel.
That's just going to be dark times when we talk about them. But Warriors, they did what we thought they'd do. The Clippers game was – the series was sort of a shock how they let that go as long as they did. But, you know, we knew Houston would get one or two.
Yeah, and the thing is, too – Kevin Durant, they thought at – let me ask you this. When you first saw the highlight of it, or if you saw it live because it was pretty late for the East Coasters, I'm on the Central Standard, and it was a Pacific Coast time. When you saw it, did you think it was a torn Achilles?
Oh, no, nobody here – the playoff game started at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. At but night, when, you that's, saw the, that's... when you saw the highlight before even thinking about what the headline said, did you – what did it look like to you?
No, it didn't look as bad as it possibly could have been.
So it was a – what was the exact strained calf? Is that what they said?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Strained calf injury. But it's kind of on that, you know, more severe end. So they had to basically just like shut him down for a week. And a week at this point in the series, you know, it's at the time it was 2-2 in the Rockets-Warriors series. You know, Durant was actually playing pretty well in that game, and it was late in the third. Like, it was like 2 minutes left in the third. So you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God.
Yeah, eternity, but that's the, you know, again, just, you know, take all your NBA conspiracy theories. But if you have your best team ever starting at 9 p.m., who's going to be up on the East Coast watching it?
Nobody.
That's the thing is you're shooting yourself in the foot, you know, losing people because well they can't, it's too late.
Yeah.
So there can't be a conspiracy why the West is better. Not from a, you know, TV stand, from a marketing standpoint, that's the last thing you would do. But
moving forward though,
moving forward,
they move on and they play the Portland Trailblazers.
We said it would go to game 7.
Mm-hmm.
You said Denver is going to take it at home. I said, no, it's going to be experience with Portland.
Well, Denver had zero experience, and Portland had a very light amount of playoff experience, to be honest.
But they have, you know, Turner. They had Enes Kanter, who has playoffs. They had Lillard and Lillard, who's extremely hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, more than – well, they have Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul Millsap they got Isaiah Thomas in sweatpants.
I don't even think Thomas played a lot in that series, if at all. Was
no, he didn't
injured?
Play at all. He's out of the rotation.
Correct. So it was just kind of one of those things. It was an entertaining series. The 4 overtime game is the one that people are probably going to remember the most when they like look back years and years later. But the game 7 was kind of a typical game 7. It turns into a slog because everybody's nervous. And then – the only thing that was a little strange about it was the fact that Denver was up 17 and just let it very quickly slip away in the third to the point that Portland took the lead early in the fourth. And CJ McCollum, like you mentioned, I mean, 37 points. He was unstoppable in the second half. They could not stop him. Denver offensively had issues. Defensively, they were pretty good, but when Portland got hot, and also the fact that Portland didn't turn the ball over much, if at all, in that series or in that game 7, it all kind of compounded on Denver when they couldn't make any shots down the stretch, and Portland won the game.
So if you're the Warriors, are you happy now that Portland won? You like the matchup a little better?
I would say yes. I mean, now some people would mention that in the regular season, the Warriors made mincemeat out of Denver, but the Blazers, you know, the one thing that is funny about Portland and Golden State is this is not the first time. They played each other twice in the last 3 years. So, but the thing is, they played one time when Durant was there, and then they played him during the 73-9 season. And the irony of it, if you want to flip it towards the Durant injury and how it's going to impact the series, is that when they played in 2016, Steph Curry was out for the first three games. And what happened was the Warriors won the first two games at home. They lost game three, and then they brought Curry back. I can see the exact same thing happening with Durant, where they win the first two at home, then they lose to Portland in game three, and then they bring Durant back. What do you say? Depending on the injury status.
Depending on the injury status, yeah, you can just let him rest game one if he needs to.
Oh, I think I don't think he's going to play at all in California. Not in the first two games.
I mean, if for some chance they get blown out in game one, maybe.
Yeah, then they'll might break glass in case of emergency. Yes, I agree with that.
But you can, you know, I think you can let him go and you can take a game off. So we've mentioned this. So outside of Lynn McCollum, what shot does Portland have?
It depends on how well Rodney Hood plays, because if Rodney Hood plays well, then their guard play will be able to match up with Thompson and Curry. That's going to be the biggest thing. The only problem I have is that Enes Kanter has overachieved in these playoffs. He's played very well against Steven Adams, and he did the best job he could against Nikola Jokic, and he rebounded pretty well, along with some good play from guys like Seth Curry and Zach Collins and Mo Harkless. They got decent play out of a lot of people that you didn't expect. Bench play is always an issue when you play the Warriors, because even though they're not the, like, they don't have like a great bench, they do have some people like Kevon Looney and, you know, Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney that just jump right in because they're such a good assist team, talking about Golden State, that they just get the ball movement going based off of repetition, and they can just kind of run the same plays just with lesser talents. If you have McKinney playing in place of Durant, then yeah, you're going to have a little bit of neutralizing going on at the three, and it's all going to be surrounded by the guards and how well Curry plays and how effective Draymond Green can be, depending on who you like. Let me throw that back to you. Who do you think Draymond Green's going to guard?
Draymond will guard
Collins and Kanter.
I mean, he doesn't have to guard Kanter, really. He could just probably go small. And
Kanter's very good offensively, and that's Draymond's thing. He likes to kind of like throw you off so that offensively
it
you're not in
what the lineup they want to throw at you, really.
They're both two of the smallest teams in the NBA. They're 27. Portland's 27th in height, and Warriors are 25th in height. So you're not going to have like a lot of bigs. DeMarcus Cousins obviously is out.
He's out, yeah, but you know, you're going to probably be Aminu if they start him, or mm-hmm. they could just go super small and have Evan Turner come in and
Myers Leonard signings.
Yeah, like they go Myles Leonard, they could put Collins and they could go big with Collins and Kanter. Portland has options of way to try to create mismatches, but
if Kevin Durant doesn't play a minute in this series, what do you think would happen?
Portland would still lose.
I agree. If Kevin Durant played the entire series, how many games would it go?
I think this is probably the easiest sweep of them all. But then again, I thought we both thought they would have swept the Clippers, and that didn't happen. And then Houston.
Well, they swept them in 2017, and they beat them in five games in 2016. So maybe there's that idea of. You could twist it two ways with Portland, because I'm going to harken back to that Pelican series last year, is that, you know, you have a team that's been beating on you, and now they could look at this and say, this is our revenge, this is us coming back. I mean, we just came back from a college season where a team that lost to a 16 seed went on to win the whole thing, you know? So that whole narrative can be played in both ways, depending on how you want to bend your mindset. Like, do you think that Portland, what I'm trying to ask basically is that, do you think Portland's going to come out with that revenge factor on their mind, or vengeance factor, because of the fact that they've had those disappointments against Golden State, and the fact that everybody counts out Damian Lillard, which I'm honestly getting tired of, because he's one of the best point guards that we've ever had in NBA basketball? Or do you think that they'll just recoil and lose again?
Well, they're going to come out with the swagger they have, because they just, you know, you won game seven away, and then.
And you had a team that was prone to that in Denver, because they didn't have that experience. I know they had just finished a seven-game series with San Antonio, but they hadn't really gone through the ringer the way that some of these other playoff teams had that have had experience.
So, of course, they're going to come in hot. It's just, like we sort of both mentioned, you're just going to run into this brick wall. And, okay, you might win game three, but I just see an easy five-game series.
Yeah, I'll say Golden State in five games. If it was Denver, I probably would have said six. I mean, I think Denver defensively.
Denver would have been matchup problems, and who's going to stop Jokic?
Exactly. Jokic would have been a bad matchup for them. And also, they play slow, and they're a high assist mark team, just like Golden State. So they could have kind of like gone up and down with them a little bit. And defensively, the Nuggets were one of the best teams left in the whole thing. So that was kind of my biggest problem with Portland going into every series they played. I didn't feel like that the defense would hold up. I got to give them credit that their defense, I think, in the postseason has been better than the numbers have shown. You know, I think that's why they beat Denver. And I think they beat Oklahoma City because Oklahoma City just was not mentally ready.
Oklahoma City is just – They like Houston have lots of problems.
They weren't as deep, and they just they were. I think Portland was able to outsmart them. I didn't feel like Portland outsmarted Denver. I think they out-hustled Denver.
I agree with you, but I'm just.
Here's the problem. Out-hustling is not going to do it against the Warriors because they're too good. You got to fight fire with fire.
And you got to fight fire, but you can't go shot for shot with them.
And I think at the end of the day, that's why. The Harden Chris Paul trio tandem is why they have that the Warriors have problems with them because of the talent.
Yes.
So CJ McCollum's a hell of a player though. And I don't think it's a good idea for Steph Curry to be put on McCollum. I know they're going to want to think about it because of the size factor and the shooting guard factor, but I would probably just leave Curry on Lillard. And when it comes to McCollum, I would just shadow him, maybe put Draymond on him.
Well, okay, how about this? This is guaranteed 100% lock prediction.
Mm-hmm.
No fail, no easy money. Guaranteed Western Conference Finals, there will be a Curry in the finals.
Yes, there will. There'll be a Curry in the finals. It'll be Seth versus Steph. Brother versus brother.
Shh. Just let me have my easy prediction.
Uh-huh.
But it'll be Warriors in five.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it's silly to even think about it. Do you think there'll be any kind of weird scenario there? I mean, we've seen this before. I'm pretty sure Brooke and Robin have played against each other in the playoffs once or twice. But like, what do you think there? Do you think they'll match up?
Yeah, it'll be a nice little photo op, and then Steph will shoot a three, and then they're like, okay, now let's just go back to business.
I'll say this for Seth. I mean, I know people laughed at that quote he said about the – what did he say about the Nuggets? Sassy? He called him sassy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is kind of a grinder. He's a guy who will take charges and kind of take an elbow to the face. And like I think that's why some people have really liked him going into free agency. He's sort of like a junkyard dog type of player.
He's that second unit energy guy that teams are looking for that can shoot a three. But
correct.
Warriors in five.
I agree. I'm actually right on point with you. Hey, I hate to agree with Adam Murray, but I'm going to have to do it this time. Warriors in five games.
What shtick?
look,
it's live read time. There's no shtick involved with live reads.
Okay.
All because you don't like doing them doesn't mean... Doesn't mean we can't make them awkward as possible.
I know. That's okay. Grind. I like awkward's fun.
Bring everything to a screeching halt here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so.
So you know, the Place to Be Nation pop feed has stuff going, as it always does.
It does, huh?
Like Ben Morris and Russell Sellers close out 1970 on a new Marvel Age masterclass because nothing says current like 1970.
Okay.
Jennifer Smith welcomes in Todd Weber to watch Yoga Hosers in this month's Freak Out Drive-In.
That is a Kevin Smith movie, isn't it?
Yes, it is part of the...
And Johnny Depp is in it.
It's like
some
the
reason.
Tusk trilogy with the Walrus one with Justin Long. That was a trilogy.
Yeah, well, it can't be a trilogy because the third one hasn't come out yet.
It's part of.
Yeah, but the third one ain't going to come out yet because nobody wants to watch the third one after Yoga Hosers was so bad. I'm sure Jennifer and Todd will get some really good entertainment out of the like the badness of it.
So they can only be called a trilogy if once the third one comes out.
Correct.
So the this current Spider-Man trilogy doesn't exist. This current
like the Star Wars, it's a saga. It's not a trilogy because we haven't seen the third one yet.
So you can't...
Am I alone on this? Like, is my math wrong? If two movies come out in theaters, it's not a trilogy.
But you could plan to have one.
Well, what if all the stars of the movie die and then there's no third one? It's not a trilogy.
But plans can change. With CGI, you can have the Fast and the Furious guy die and he'll still be in it.
I was about to say, because we talked about Avengers a little bit in the last live read, you know, they filmed those two, the Infinity War and Endgame, back to back. You talk about a hell of a shoot. Oh my God. One was 2.5 hours and the other one was 3.
What about Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings is all shot.
They did them all together. Yeah. I think they did that with Star Wars. No, I'm wrong.
No,
it couldn't have been because Natalie Portman was like a little girl in the first one, so that's not possible.
No, they did not.
But okay, what else we got?
JT Rizzaro, Peter Winston, and Don Carrera pay tribute to the wonderful Veep as it winds down its run.
Which actually got shout out on Twitter from Julia Louis-Dreyfus herself. So
that's right. One of her assistants was watching the at mentions and.
Mm-hmm. Are you seriously shitting on at mentions for anybody? That's like, all right. Who's your favorite? Like, who do you idolize as a celebrity? Who is your favorite celebrity?
I don't have one.
But if you did, who would it be?
If I did idolize a celebrity, who would it be?
Yeah, like who's your favorite singer or your favorite actor?
I don't really have. I guess it used to be Johnny Depp till he got it all.
Well, imagine if Johnny Depp on Twitter said, "Yo, Adam Murray, thanks a lot for that really good compliment."
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, so when Larry Bird shouts us out and we get all these NBA team at mentions,
Larry Bird goes on Twitter. It would just be musings about his dog in his backyard, probably.
Indiana looks pretty wonderful this time of year. Yeah.
That's a very country-ass man right there. What else we got?
Andy Atherton and Russell Sellers give a look at the Forgetting Sarah Marshall in this episode of Laugh-In Theater.
That's a decent movie. Jason Segel goes like stark naked in the first 10 minutes, if you want to skip
that. It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, Mia Kunis, Kristen Bell. A couple of other ones that wound up being famous later that I think I can't remember them all. But yeah, good movie.
And lastly, the hard traveling fanboys head off the page to review the Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance, is that like a crossover thing? Or is that like.
I don't know the Marvel Universe, so they will obviously.
Are they going to promote. Should we promote ourselves during our own show?
The NBA team is still at it. We have gone fishing. It's coming soon.
Yes.
And I heard we have the NBA finals also coming up.
Yes, NBA Endgame as it being relabeled by Disney. What'd you think of that one? I mean, we got the G League. NASCAR. Didn't they change it to Winston Cup? Change it to the Nextel Cup for a little while.
Well, that's just sponsorship reasons.
Well, how about we sponsor the actual, like, final series? Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say it's the end game.
Like in wrestling, like NBA Armageddon, NBA Endgame, or some kind of tie-in like that.
I thought the Wizards signed Thanos to a 10-day contract and half the teams get relegated.
Well, I mean, if Thanos is the – I mean, if Thanos was in the NBA, he would just injure all the star players and win.
Well, no, he'd be slow. He'd just be another slow, big guy who can't shoot free throws.
Well, you know, the whole gimmick there is that he removes half the population. What if you removed half of the, like, average NBA players? Would the league be better? Think about that. Deep thoughts.
Yeah, but it would be arbitrary, so you could just be left like a team with all just centers. And, you know, you'd still have, you know, Boban. Boban would still be around, and then, oh, well.
He would definitely be that, like, bottom 50%. I'm sorry. Are you seriously telling me Boban's in the upper 50% of NBA talent pool? Seriously?
I didn't say upper and lower. I just said.
I didn't say basketball, Adam. I said the NBA. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are fantastic in college or in high school, and in the NBA, they can't do jack. I'm watching Jake Layman in sweatpants for the Portland Trailblazers. Jake Layman's a good player, you know?
Yeah, but the 50% is arbitrary.
I know which – I know. That's the one thing I do like about the NBA. You know who the good ones are pretty quick.
Anyways, check out the Place Beat Nation pop feed. Always stuff going on.
Back to basketball.
As part of our live reads will be longer than the Previews Themselves series.
And we're back, Adam Murray. Let's talk about a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. Easier said than done, because I said a little butt bit.
Boston.
Let's talk a little butt bit about the Milwaukee Bucks beating the Boston Celtics. Say that three times fast.
Yeah, Boston, where the fans are over it. I wish I could say more about it, but just, you know, the whole Kyrie thing. They tried. It didn't work out. Okay, that's fine. But Milwaukee just beat them. You know, game one, Boston won handily. Okay, it's over. We're back.
No, I knew one big difference that happened, but I wanted to ask you from as an observer, what did you feel was different about the game one versus the next four? I mean, I can give you the statistical one in a second.
The Boston just looked like trash.
Boston could not make shots in the other four games. They shot 50% in the first game, and they shot, I think, like under 40% for the rest of the series.
That's the thing. They looked like trash, and just we said in the previews and all the season, this is a team, if they get cold and they can't shoot, they can't get themselves back into it because all they know how to do is shoot. So you need your shots to hit. They couldn't hit the shots. And, you know, Kyrie, I need to shoot more.
Did their defense fail them? I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks were the best offense in the NBA. There's no shame in giving up like 110, 115 points in a playoff game to a team like that. But did you feel like that they kind of like bled to death on defense, or did you think the offense was the main reason why they lost?
The offense was the main reason you lost because, you know, you're putting up a bad shot. You miss another three. All of a sudden, you know, now you're down.
And you can't get to the free throw line because they were 28th in free throws made.
Exactly, because they became a jump shot team.
23rd in points in the paint, so you can't get easy baskets.
Jason Tatum did not take that.
Now you're taking too many threes,
and it's just you're there's nobody to rebound it. So it's Milwaukee did what they needed to do, and they moved forward, and they are the number one looking seed. Like, yeah, that's them. They're good.
It was impressive watching a team, because sometimes you see these teams in the regular season. Like one famous one, obviously, was in 2007 when the Mavericks lost to the Warriors in the first round. But there are some of these teams where you watch them and they have all these really nice, gaudy and analytics on their side as a team. And then you watch them in the playoffs and you're like, I don't know. I mean, I remember you were not a big fan of the Atlanta Hawks, right, when we first started our podcast. Can you believe this is the fifth year we've done this conference finals preview?
I know. We are red shirt seniors.
The first year we did it was Atlanta. That's what reminded me of it. And you weren't a big fan of it. Then ironically, Budenholzer coached that team too.
We call them for the frauds that they were. And
but that's what I was about to say. The Bucks are not a fraud. Like they went out and just kicked Boston's ass.
Basically, yes. And now home court advantage in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. What else can you possibly ask for? I don't know. You know, with the exception of Pau Gasol, who was
he's out with a foot injury for good.
Yeah, but he didn't provide really anything for him when they picked him up, anyways, for off the scrap heap from San Antonio.
But what they've had is like they've had this really nice combination with like Eric Bledsoe and George Hill, who all of a sudden found the fountain of youth. You know, Pat Connaughton plays well. Ilyasova rebounds the ball well. Mirotić is a – I mean, he was a good bench guy for the Pelicans when he played for us. I love Nikola Mirotić. You know, and he's – Malcolm Brogdon's back too. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, he's back to being healthy. It's funny that, you know, you mentioned Connaughton. It's like everyone's like, oh, my God, Connaughton, where'd he come from? It's like, yeah, that's what Dellavedova used to be for Cleveland.
People won't believe this. Connaughton played for the Pacers – I mean, the Blazers.
Yeah.
I totally screwed that up. But he played for the Blazers. You know, can you imagine if he actually stayed and they just forked over the money instead of signing Jake Layman to another contract?
Well, Portland has salary cap issues and, you know, number issues, and there was really no room for – and that happens everywhere. Look at I mean, look at, we could just say Thomas Bryant in Washington, who seemed to have found a home after bouncing around. I mean, Yogi Ferrell had 10-day contracts everywhere before he got picked up.
I will say this for, you know, like the Blazers, it kind of feels like this is their, this is the chance. With the Bucks, I think they got some more chances in them, you know?
Well, the Bucks, they have some free agency issues coming up, and you know, a luxury tax bill that the owner's like, oh yeah, well if we win and we're doing good, yeah, we might look at it, but got issues, and you know, basically,
the Middleton opt out is the biggest thing at that point. Then you're going into the tax. And
Middleton opt out is one thing. You're also losing Brook Lopez, who they got for nothing because the Lakers were smart to be like, oh, and, we don't want him.
And he was like a revelation as like a pick and pop center, which is really weird.
Which he had become in at the end of his Brooklyn career. But we're digressing. They are in the finals, deservedly so. Boston stunk their way out of it. They underachieved all season, and they could pull it. They could put it together for plus. No, they couldn't. And now Milwaukee solidly in the finals, and they will be taking on the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, those guys, huh? The Toronto Raptors are not anything to sniff at for sure. You know, they had to go seven games with the Sixers.
Well, here's sort of
the
question. Are you sort of shocked they didn't choke? Just a little piece of you knowing, like...
No, I'm going to tell you why. Because DeMar DeRozan got replaced with Kawhi Leonard. That's why.
Yeah, but even like, you know, when game one, or what was it, game one?
All that Jurassic Park crap with Toronto, they're going to blow it again, that kind of thing.
But it's just always, until you get that monkey off your back, you still have that in the back of your mind, like, oh man, they look good. Kawhi has changed this team. You know, that coaching change. Nick Nurse, he's not revolutionary.
And then comes the fart noise. Where they drop one.
And it's just like, they're Toronto. Oh, crap.
I'm going to tell you this, and people have probably quickly forgotten this. I think the best thing that happened to the Raptors in this postseason was losing that first game to the Magic. Because it gave them a sense of like, all right, you're not invincible. Even I know you got Kawhi Leonard, who's an MVP candidate, and you got a really great team. I mean, you watched them in this playoff series; like they're a really freaking good team. But they're not invincible, and they needed that when they played Philadelphia because they did not play well in Game Two, you know. And then in Game Three, Embiid had by far the best game I've seen him play in this postseason. I know there was some talk about his like respiratory issues and things like that going forward in that series, but you know, he's still a superstar. You know, and they were able to just go through him and Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler and get that done.
So it's safe to say this is the series of teams that won trades this year. Everybody was, you know, Houston was going all in, you know, Boston was, everybody was making their moves. Whereas.
Well, the biggest winner was the Clippers, but they got the worst draw by having to play the Warriors. I think if the Clippers had played anybody else, they would have moved on.
But everybody was, you know, Philly bought in big time, you know, make it all of a sudden. Oh, we got Marc Gasol at the trade deadline.
I wouldn't say winning their deals though, Adam. I would just say loading up. You know, that definitely was the case with Toronto in probably the summer. I would say probably when they got Kawhi, wouldn't you agree, Adam, that they kind of felt like, all right, we're going to have to really make a go of this. And then they got Gasol at the trade deadline. With the Bucks, it came a little later. It came right at the trade deadline where they realized, man, we are really good. We really got a chance at this. And that's when they started doing things like getting Pau Gasol and trading away John Henson to get George Hill or Dellavedova to get George Hill and things like that.
And Thonmaker to get Mirotić.
Correct.
Like how? That's not fair that you should be able to upgrade your team just like that.
Well, what I meant by that is that I think Masai Ujiri had a better idea of how good that team could be with Kawhi basically replacing DeMar DeRozan. I know that they had to put other pieces in there like Jakob Poeltl, but Danny Green's been a good contributor for them. Even when they lost OG Anunoby, their bench was still really good. They were able to pick up Jeremy Lin. They've been so good in the series that really they haven't even had to play Jeremy Lin. Am I right?
No, he's been just riding the bench. And mm-hmm. I mean, for a team that had no point
guard.
They
played Jody Meeks more than Lin lately.
Well, Meeks can still hit a three. Lin is just more of the speedster. And we might see him. I might see him more. We might see him more in this series just due to matchups. But
I mean, the biggest thing was the emergence of Siakam in like not the entire NBA season, but definitely like after the new year, he just absolutely went on a tear. And that's what kind of put Toronto over the top for me. Now you got a guy who's just been a good bench player as a rookie, all of a sudden emerging as like almost like a Paul George type when in his second year in Indiana, where you're like, wow, this guy is a star. This guy is really, really good.
So what do you – who do you have?
This one is kind of hard, Ed. I'll let you kind of like take the air out of the room for a little while, and you give me your pick because I need a little bit of time.
It's tough because neither of these teams have experience. I mean, we've mentioned Toronto's failures repeatedly, and
the Bucks won 7 games with the Celtics. They went 6 games with
Bucks
the Raptors.
Hadn't won a series since 2001, and
didn't,
all of a sudden,
didn't they lose to the Raptors 2 years ago? That was the infamous one where Giannis had to try to do everything when Jason Kidd was the coach, and in Game 6, like he was so tired that he couldn't bend his knees on free throws, and he kept missing his free throws. Wasn't that the game?
Yes,
that was it. That was 2 years ago.
I think I might go Milwaukee in six.
Six games? They just take one out of Toronto to...
I think, I mean, as much as the matchups are just...
The matchup's going to be amazing because it's going to be Leonard versus Giannis.
It's going to be... This is the series I think people want to see because I think whichever team wins is just going to get destroyed by Golden State.
Is going to get destroyed by Golden State?
Yeah.
No,
you could say Milwaukee always is their bugaboo, and you know they always put up a fight against them.
Okay,
but
I can't buy that. I think either of those Eastern Conference champions would give the Warriors. I think the Warriors have definitely shown a lot of like cracks to their game. So
I
can't say it.
You have two teams who were just bright eyed, and we've never been to the finals where it's just like, yeah, it's all business for us.
Well, that's what makes this Eastern Conference Finals feel fresh. I mean, I know a lot of people try to pin on LeBron, especially the LeBron haters, to say, oh man, LeBron was holding all these teams. No, LeBron was great. The fact that LeBron got to the finals as many times as he did is a testament to his greatness, and he had great teams on the way. It just so happened that like the
LeBron haters are just. There's a fine line between LeBron hate and just.
Well, I will agree with this that it was just bad karma last year because that Cavs team that made the finals wasn't that good, and the Celtics team that they played against in the conference finals was inadequate to say the least.
Was way overachieving, but here you just have two. Just really fresh teams who you don't know what they're gonna give you. So
so I said Leonard Giannis. That may have been like a quick overreaction just from the excitement of the series. Do you think that he'll guard Middleton at all?
I mean, Leonard has to be on Giannis the whole game.
Okay, so that means that Middleton will guard Siakam, and Middleton's a good defender too. Kyle Lowry and Eric Bledsoe is actually a pretty fair matchup. I know that Bledsoe had his issues with Terry Rozier last year, but he's been really good in the postseason this year. He gave Kyrie Irving a lot of trouble.
And then Ibaka Lopez, so...
Well, not only that, then in the bench, you go to the point guard and you got, you know, Fred VanVleet for Toronto and you got Malcolm Brogdon for the Bucks. I know Brogdon starts a lot, but because of his injury issue, I could see them not wanting to mess with the starting rotation because they've been so good, and having Brogdon come off the bench and kind of be the cooler to Fred VanVleet's heater, if that makes any sense. Then you got Ilyasova and Marcus Hall. You know, it's going to be really, really weird matchups, and it's going to be a lot of fresh ones that no one's ever seen before. You know, the only thing I would hate is if people kind of forget about the series because it's Toronto versus Milwaukee, and people look at the markets and they look at the teams and they look at the history and they go, who really cares? I don't want to see that.
Those are all people who have LeBron jerseys and only just watch.
No,
you know,
but I will say this, Adam, though. The ratings do show it, that when you have smaller market teams like that in a conference championship, unless it goes 7 games, then most people don't watch, or they don't watch as much as they used to.
Who's the superstar? No, but this is how you build new superstars.
Well, Giannis is definitely on that list, yes.
As much as we love LeBron, as much as we love him, that group, Dwayne Wade's retired, Melo out of the league. LeBron, he's just old, you know, this is his first year being injured.
Yeah,
so
and didn't somebody in this series win the finals MVP? Am I dreaming?
Maybe.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard did.
Maybe.
I mean, it's like, here's the other thing too. Like, let's say Toronto goes to the finals and they beat the Bucks. Do you think Kawhi would stay?
Is that enough
to convince him to stay?
I mean, it might be enough to convince him to stay now.
Hmm.
Considering, you know,
I mean, brushing my prepubescent chin here.
So who do you have?
I have the Raptors in 7 games.
So they're going to win at Milwaukee.
They're going to win 7. At Milwaukee to finish. Their defense will carry it. The thing is, though, when you look at the metrics, it's just like nuts. Like, the Bucks are first in offense and defense. They're in the top 10, but they're first in efficiency. They rebound well. They block shots. They make threes because Budenholzer, that's Bud Ball. They don't foul much. They play fast. But then you look at the Raptors, really good offensively, great defensively. I mean, they gave Philadelphia a lot of problems in the games that they won. You know, good three-point shooting team. They can get on the fast break because Kawhi's got hands the size of the Big Show, so he can just steal the ball whenever he wants to. So it's just a terrific, like, influx of matchups. I almost am not sure how it's even going to match up right now because the benches are so deep. Both teams are very athletic, and you got a lot of size coming your way.
Either way, it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, points in the paint is a big deal, though, because Toronto doesn't score in the paint as much as you would think because they take more threes than you think, whereas the Bucks, because of Giannis, they're third in the league in points in the paint. They just, like, when Giannis gets going, if you can't guard him or put a body on him in, like, a zone type of defense, then he is going to just destroy you at the rim. So we'll see how that goes, especially when Leonard's guarding Giannis, because maybe Leonard will get some liberties on Giannis that most other players don't get.
Should be fun to watch, though.
Yes. So we have one seed versus one seed. Bucks Warriors, is that what we got?
That's what. Well, we knew it was that we had the Warriors. We didn't have them penciled in. We didn't have them penned in. We got a straight up Sharpie just already having Golden State in the finals. So it's exciting to see somebody that's not Cleveland and not LeBron for once. You know, it's all LeBron.
Well,
LeBron.
That'll be fun. I mean, I feel like that anybody in the East that plays the Warriors that's not LeBron is going to be interesting.
I mean, it's a nice change of pace. I don't think the Bucks or any of them have a chance, but at the same time, good for them for making it.
Yep, and that's going to be doing it for this episode. I'm just very excited to do it, and I hope everybody here that in the Place to Be Nation who listens to it will be enjoying it. We will be back on behalf of Adam Murray. This is Andrew Reich. Take care.
See ya.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. And we want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.